Before I get started today, I want to ask a favor. As you listen, if you like what you hear, would you sit down and please write a review? If you want to discuss anything from this episode, you can reach out on the Strive, Seek, Find page on Facebook or to @ChanceWhitmore5 on Twitter. Thanks. Between emotional outbursts, my house is serene. Yeah, that's the word. Serene and peaceful. In the truest Costanza sense, serenity now! Welcome to the Strive, Seek, Find podcast. I'm Chance Whitmore. My most important role and my most challenging one are, of course, the same thing. Parenting. Even at the best of times, it's challenging, and at the worst, it's heartrending. And it doesn't seem to matter the age. Parenting is not going to be easy. So I've been thinking about it, and here's what I've come up with. Now let's get started. Start out with a couple stories today. First one, new parents can definitely understand, and those of us who've been around the block will remember and grin. One girl, doesn't matter which of the three, I was out shopping with her, and she was 4 months old at the time, and of course she was at that age where she had no rear end, barely holding the diaper up by tightening the sucker down. So of course on this day, while I was out shopping alone, there was what I like to call an explosive decompression. That diaper went up her back, and when I pulled her out without knowing it, all over said parent. And fortunately, as I wished for a pressure washer, because you had to take apart the car seat, you had to take apart everything the kid was wearing. Meanwhile, you're covered in the explosive decompression at the same time. So take 15 minutes, a full thing of wipes. You know she's going to be sitting on a plastic car seat because the cover had to come off at that point. And you realize at this point, as you're trying to get her ready to go back in, you got the diaper, you reach for the diaper bag and the fresh clothes, and realize this time you had forgotten them. So into JCPenney's we go. Mostly naked kid, poop-covered father, and we bought some clothes right then before the shopping trip went any farther. Now, second story is a little more recent. It's pulling back when trying to give my own kids a little bit of independence. I let one of my daughters stay home. It wasn't long. It was like 20, 25 minutes. But she was alone for the first time. But she had a phone. It's something that my folks at the same age probably wouldn't have given a second thought about. But in the 30 minutes I was gone to the drugstore, I think I fielded 3 calls and called her twice. There was a little daddy angst going on, but I know the independence has got to grow. So it's gotten better. Sorta. Just goes to show it doesn't matter the age. There are going to be challenges and difficulties. But all this has me thinking. My parents were young adults in the 60s. Between them, they had very different lives. My father didn't have indoor plumbing on the farm for part of his growing up years, and used to tell me stories that as a little boy, he would wait when it was snowy and cold for one of his sisters to go out and use the outhouse or his mom so that he could get the benefit of having a nice warm outhouse seat when he had to run outside in the middle of the night. He went to a one-room schoolhouse for a while with desks so old they still had the antique inkwells in them. And he's fond of telling the story of tying a little girl's braid in them who wouldn't keep them off her desk. My mother grew up in the United States in the East and obviously had indoor plumbing. But when it came time to go for college, she ended up at a college that had in a place and time where the college decided to treat the women like kids and control them by having dorm mothers and not allowing them out at night. I was born in the 70s. Grew up 70s, 80s, graduated high school in the 90s. I had a driver's license at 14. I thought it was appropriate at the time. After all, I'd been driving tractor and truck around the farm since I was 7 or 8 years old, and down the road a little car since 12, so of course I belonged on the road. Knowing what I know about 15-year-olds now, that's a fairly horrific thought, because I probably didn't make the best of decisions. I knew how to trick the automated collect call system with the payphone to let my parents I was ready to be picked up. You'd call collect, he'd ask you for a name, and you'd say, "I'm ready to go," and you'd hang up. When you heard them pick up and heard the name, they'd hang up, you'd hang up, off you'd go. And I was the tech guru in my house, because I could make the VCR stop blinking when we finally bought one used from the video store when I was a freshman in high school. Being snowed in meant you never saw or talked to anyone, and you had two channels, a VCR with copied movies, if it happened when I was in high school, books and board games that you had on hand. We still had a party line when I was in elementary school. For those of you who don't know, that meant my family shared a phone line with four other people, other homes down the road, and you couldn't use the phone if someone was talking to Great Aunt Martha. And they could pick up and listen to your phone calls if they so desired. By the way, we used to call those people busybodies. Now we call that Facebook. Our first home computer came at a huge expense and used an old black and white TV as a screen when I was in 8th or 9th grade. I think it had 16K kilobytes of memory, and it was probably the coolest thing I ever saw because I started learning programming in BASIC. And of course, social media was what they put in the paper to tell you who had had dinner with who, or what someone wrote on the bathroom wall. And then there are my kids, born between the late aughts and the teens of the early part of the 21st century. They've never lived in a world without streaming TV. They've never seen a phone with a cord attached to the wall at home. They were mystified when I showed them the old encyclopedia and explained this is what we had rather than Google. Their baby pictures were on the book of face, as well as in a baby album. The two youngest have never known a world without a swipe screen, never known dad not to have a smartphone, and they're living and growing up through a global pandemic. With even these surface-level examples, how can we even pretend that any generation is raised like the last, or even should be? We all reminisce or bitch about the good old days, but parents have to be adaptable, day to day, year to year, and kid to kid, because if you got more than one, you start all over with the next one. With that, though, comes the understanding that certain lessons need to be learned. Even if the how is different, the what remains constant. Do not steal. Have integrity, look someone in the eye, how to be good humans, even when surrounded by pressure not to be. Though at this moment, it does strike me that some of the lessons we teach kids how to survive, and while hundreds and thousands of years ago that may have been how to hunt and how to gather and how to farm, today, depending on where you live, that can be very different. So in the 1980s, coming home from a football game as a freshman, my choices were get a ride home or get dropped off at the Circle K to make a phone call home so my parents could come and pick me up. Wasn't a big deal. It's just how we did things. While I had my driver's license, I wasn't old enough to drive at night yet. And so I had to get home the 7 miles out of town somehow. And when you have certain football road trips that were between 3 and 6 hours away, you couldn't guarantee what time you got there. So payphones or rides is how you did it. And your parents had to depend on you to be responsible to call them at the right time. I faced the modern version of this decision this year with a middle schooler. With an online schooling or a hybrid schedule where she's only in the building twice a week, ends up spending more time alone at home than I'm comfortable with. It's led me to reevaluate something else I wasn't comfortable with. I didn't think my daughter needed a cell phone. Part of my job in real life has led me to understand exactly how addictive and how easily misused and abused a cell phone could be by a kid. I didn't want that for my daughter. I didn't want her to face some of those choices. And yet I know in our society, it's part of growing up. So the global pandemic, her time at home, have led Amy and I to make a slightly different decision. And we've so far so good. But it's not a decision my parents would have ever had to make. And it was one I would have preferred to press off for a few more years. So, if only the world would have gone my way, you know? That's what life's about, after all. The adults get their way every time. Right. And you can see these choices around you. My wife and I both had to walk to bus stops. Hers was over a mile away. So was mine, out of sight of our homes. Nobody blinked an eye at the time. It was just expected. But now that seems to be unthinkable, at least for many parents, because I can sit outside of my subdivision and watch when the bus arrives and there are cars lined up down the street to pick up their kids from the bus stop and take them home. Or when the weather's a little better, to walk home with them. It's just different. And those parenting decisions are no more or less valid than the ones our parents made. Our parents felt safe doing that. Those parents do not. I get it in both cases. All in all, every generation is doing the best they can to deal with a world that they don't completely understand and are yet helping raise their kids to navigate it. Fortunately, kids tend to be more resilient and adaptable than we are as adults, and they will thrive going forward, even as they roll their eyes about some of our decisions. So in last week's episode, I provided a Wayback Machine movie reference and told you all that there were bonus points if it was identified. Ray, the proprietor of the Not Before Coffee podcast, recognized it as the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Total Recall. Great job, Ray. Because Quaid did turn on the reactor. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. Side note, Ray's podcast is a great podcast filled with movies, coffee, books, and mental health. I would suggest you listen to it. Worth mentioning. So scratching my reading itch of late, I finished a series of science fiction novels I've been working my way through. Neil Asher's Agent Cormac series. They're not great literature, but they are highly engaging. Asher develops and grows an entertaining character throughout the series of four books. The adventures are high concept and driven by tremendous future technology, nanotechnology, governments run by artificial intelligence. The odds seem insurmountable, and you're kept on the edge of your seat from the beginning to the end of every book. It's not great literature, but it's a hell of a popcorn book. And that makes it worth checking out. That's it for this week's episode of Strive, Seek, Find. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a review. It really helps. If you have feedback or ideas, please reach out to the Strive, Seek, Find page on Facebook or to @ChanceWhitmore5 on Twitter. Until next time, keep seeking your own brilliant future. Have a great day.